concerning the communion is different from whatever I've shared before. You can be seated just for a few minutes. Everybody sit down, sit down. And the ladies who are in the where the communion emblem, please, I want you to listen very, very carefully to what I'm about to share. And it is in the light of that that I will bless the emblems and we will examine and judge ourselves. So I got up this morning, and as I was praying, actually from yesterday, the Lord spoke to me. Yesterday, we had a wedding here in church. And I'd never said it like that before. It came up by the Spirit as I was talking, that marriage is a covenant. And I said, a covenant? The modern day word would be contract. Contract. But contract is not heavy enough. In a contract, what happens is that there's an agreement between two parties. And money is given by one party for another part, the second party, to execute some project. Usually over time with timelines. So they give you maybe 10 billion is the entire project. I'm just using speculative terms, you know. And you're supposed to finish maybe it in 1 year. So they don't give you the whole 10 million initially. They probably give you 3 billion. Then they say after 3 months, they come and check how far the work has gone. If the work is fine and they are satisfied, they give you another 3 billion. Then maybe after 4 months, they come and check again. And if you've done the work properly, at 6 billion, they now give you the remaining 4 billion to finish the work, you know. And if they are satisfied, that contract is executed, and at the end, the contractor gets all of his money and the client gets his project when everything goes well. When there is a breach of contract, either on the side of the contractor or the client, maybe the money is given but the man doesn't do the work properly, you know, or does not finish it in the right frame, time frame, or the quality is not acceptable to the client, they don't give him any more money. They withdraw the money. If sometimes they will take him to court, you know, and claim damages. So the price for breaching a natural human contract is usually money. But a covenant is deeper than that. The case of the covenant, what happens is an exchange of lives. When you enter into a covenant with somebody, and this was practiced in Asia, in Africa, with our tribes, the tribal man, the primitive man, understood contracts or covenants. What they used to do is that they will cut their themselves and they will shed their blood. Then they will mix the blood together of the two people and say, we enter an agreement today that everything in our tribe will be yours. If somebody attacks you, we will take all of our soldiers, all of our resources will come and stand with you. If somebody attacks us, you will take all of your resources and you will come and stand with us. So our two lives, the lives of our two tribes, are mixed together as one. And usually they will mix it with in blood and all of that. And they all understood that the penalty for breaking that covenant was death, not money. In the case of the contract, the penalty is money. But in the case of a covenant, it is death. A lot of Christians don't understand that. They don't understand that marriage, I'm going to get to our own personal relationship with Christ in a minute, but marriage in particular, that's why people divorce. You don't understand what you're doing. You are breaching a blood covenant. The penalty is death. It may not happen immediately, but it will happen. In my short time on the earth, you know, I have seen men break covenants with their wives. People not even Christians. There's just something about that thing, because it is God who is behind it. He said, I hate putting away. And I've seen, they don't live long. They may get away with it for a few years. After a while, they die. You know why? He broke a covenant. Now let's bring this to our relationship with the Lord. When you got born again and you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, whether you know it or not, you entered into a blood covenant with God. And I'll explain the terms of the contract, of the covenant, so we understand this communion and what we're taking. And it is this: God laid down his life for you. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he gave up his comforts in heaven, came to the earth, was humiliated, took on the form of a servant, did that for 33 years, then died on the cross, shed his blood, that's the blood that ratified the covenant, you know, to make available to you the following things: eternal life, divine healing and health, deliverance from evil spirits, financial prosperity, and then the ultimate, the power of his spirit without measure, so that you can become a channel of blessing to humanity around you. Jesus has done his part. You don't know what you mean when you say, I gave my life to Christ. Did you? If you gave your life to Christ, then your life is no longer yours. Unless you didn't give your life to Christ. When you give your life to Christ, when you say, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior and as my Lord, you enter into a covenant in which you now, like he did, laid down his life, you now lay down yours. Now, he is going to make a demand on your life. Let me be very specific. He's demanding that his life that he has given you occupies your mind, your will, your emotions, and your physical body. That is your own part of your responsibilities in the covenant. He wants to take possession of the soul and the body, that his life, to the will, the mind, the emotions, and the body, he paid for by his life, by his shed blood. You now default in the covenant, and the penalty is death. Ultimately, I will explain. It's a serious business. That is why the purpose of communion is stock taking, just like that contractor. After so much time, they expect the work to have reached this level. So each time you come and take communion, you have to examine and judge yourself and find out, to what degree have I given my life to Christ? To what degree have I given him my mind? To what degree have I given him my will? To what degree have I given him my emotions? To what degree have I given him my physical body? To what degree is his life being made manifest? In what measure of his life is inside my mind, my will, my emotions? Is that the degree to which I've done that I'm fulfilling the covenant? And the degree to which I am not is the degree to which I am defaulting on the covenant, for which there is a penalty. It is for this reason the Apostle Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to read from verse 23. We normally read this when they come, but I want to do it now when there's nothing. Then we're just going to quickly serve the communion and we'll take it, and then we'll do a short thanksgiving. We're going to stay in our places and close the service. So I want us to listen with rapt attention in the light of what I have said. It's a covenant, folks. It's not a joke. That's why during marriages, when we're doing the vows, I don't like people shouting and clapping. I always tell them, it's a solemn thing. It's a covenant. I give you my body. I vow. I give you my life. That's what the woman does. That's what the man does. The man gives his life to his wife. The wife gives his life to his husband, to the husband. And then, you know, 3 weeks later, something happens and then you start breaking covenant. You can't do that. Or you shouldn't do that, rather. A very serious matter. And that's why so many people are having so many difficulties. Because they're covenant breakers. At different levels. See, I can't tell my wife now that, you know, you are no longer Sarah Johnson. Or, you know, you don't have access to my this anymore. I'll be breaking covenant. And she can't do the same to me. We have to keep covenant. It's deeper than a contract. Lives are involved now. What was laid down when a covenant was signed was lives. And what is lost when covenants are broken is lives. It's deep. So the apostle tells us, see, Paul is writing by revelation. He was not there that day, but Jesus showed it to him. So he received by revelation, and he had a deep, being a lawyer by training, you know, and a revelation knowledge, he understood the sacredness of the covenant that we have with Jesus. So he says in verse 23, "For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. For this do ye, for as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The bread and the wine are the emblems, the symbolic emblems of the covenant. The wine representing the blood that is shed. The bread representing the body that was broken. And indeed it was. The cross was a gory affair. They nailed his two hands. They nailed his feet. They had whipped his body. It was blood from top to bottom. They put a crown of thorns on his head. The body was broken. They didn't break his bones, but the flesh and all of that was broken. And as if that was not enough, On the cross, he died spiritually and then went to hell for 3 days and three nights before the Holy Spirit now raised him from the dead. So when you are taking that wine and you're taking that bread, you're saying, I understand what the price you paid. I appreciate the life you laid down. Consequently, I also lay my life down. That is when you take the communion worthily. If you take the bread and the wine and you do not correspondingly lay your own life down in honesty, in consecration, you don't examine yourself, you don't judge yourself, you don't make a heartfelt determination to move the contract forward, so to speak, to give him more access to your will, to your mind, to your emotions, and to your bodies, you just defaulted on the contract. And many people do that. That's why Paul wrote this letter. They don't understand. They don't know that it's a covenant. They don't understand, you know, that Jesus, you know, broke his body on their behalf, shed his blood. And so, let's read on in the light of that. He said, for as often, verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. That's how he gave his life. He gave his life by dying for you and I. Till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But, this is the antithesis. In other words, he's told you what will happen if you do it unworthily. So he's now showing you how to do it worthily. But, let a man examine himself, or a woman examine herself. And so, let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. In other words, don't touch the bread and don't touch the cup if you have not examined yourself. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation or condemnation or the consequent effect of covenant breaking to himself, not discerning, not seeing into, not appreciating the covenant that he's in and the body of the Lord that was broken on his behalf for him to enjoy all these wonderful privileges. For this cause, and this is where I'm going to focus on for the next few minutes, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Those are the prices of breaking covenant. Observe, it's at three levels. Weakness, sickness, then ultimately premature physical death. And he said, that's the reason why. And I would have liked him to have said few, but he didn't say few, he said many. And it's still the same today. I'll come back to this in a minute. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In other words, the reason why the punishment, if I can use that expression, for breaking covenant came on those people was because they didn't judge themselves. If they had honestly examined themselves and judged themselves, they would not have suffered the consequences of the breach of the covenant. In fact, they would not have breached the covenant. Then we would not have been judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Now, this is a blessing from God because of his goodness. He said that if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. But if you don't judge yourself, and then the Lord will chasten you. How? Weakness, sickness, and then when those don't work, and they don't bring the change that is required, ultimately physical death, premature physical death, so that you will not be condemned with the world. In other words, he will allow that, like we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and chapter 5, deliver him to Satan from destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved, so that he doesn't go to hell. He's not condemned with the world. But it's not the will of God. The will of God, the perfect will of God, is that we examine ourselves. Then we judge ourselves. And then we make the right determinations, consecrations, you know, to do better than we've done in the past. And then take the wine, which represents the blood. Take the bread, which represents the body, to receive eternal life, to give us the strength, the wisdom, the power to do better. Mommy said something. Say that it's stock taking. It's like that contract I spoke about, the natural contract. After so many months, has he occupied more of your will? Has he occupied more of the mind? Has he occupied more of the emotions? Has he occupied more of your physical body? If he hasn't, you need to do something about it drastically. It's a breach of covenant. There should have been more occupation from the Lord, because that's what he paid for. He said, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. And he wants to take possession of what he bought. Not in a negative kind of way, but you know, he wants to take possession of your mind, which is going to be a blessing to you. He wants to take possession of your will, which is going to be a blessing to you. He's going to take possession of your emotions, which is going to be a blessing to you. He wants to take possession of your body, so which will be a blessing to you, so that he can then use that body and that mind and that will to be a blessing to the world. Don't deny him his right. That's what he paid for. And so, we have, thank you, Jesus. I wrote it here. Every covenant has responsibilities and privileges. Let me deal with the responsibilities, and then I'll come to the privileges. Our responsibilities as Christians. See, I'm saying all of this so that you will have material with which to judge yourself. Immediately we finish this now, I'm going to pray over this. They will go and they will just serve. I'm not going to, and we'll just be singing a few songs, you know, because of time. You know, normally I say it while they are serving, but I don't want to do that. I want us to hear, understand, so you yourself, you are well informed and equipped. So, as I'm talking now, the judgment and the examining should be starting. If you want to write something down, be writing it down. Or in your heart, you're examining and you're judging, you're examining and you're judging, you're examining and you're judging, you're examining and judging. You are making all the necessary consecrations and dedications so that by the time the bread and the wine come, you're ready. It's not when they're bringing the bread and the wine just quickly. No, no. The examining should be done now. You are to keep the commandment of life and love by the blood, the word, and the spirit. Now that's a mouthful. There are details. You know, you clean with the blood, look with the word, pray in tongues. What mommy was talking about earlier on, meekness and lowliness of heart. You know, honesty, humility, like Paul. I think Paul is one of the most honest men of his time. When he wrote that scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it's in verse 2, and he said, "We have renounced the hidden things of." Means he had it. Paul too was a part of that thing. He chose to say, "I'm stopping this." We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. It is rife in the body of Christ. There's a lot of hidden dishonesty. See, it's hidden because it's in the heart. Nobody else can see it. So you, I don't agree with that one. I'm not going to do this one. They have said their own. You know, it's hidden dishonesty. Renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Observe, it is the word of God. But it can be handled in an underhand manner. With that, you now keep the commandment of life and love. In Jesus' name I have life. I love God with all my heart, with all my mind. You know, I love my brethren as well. Then you pray in tongues. You know, you need to keep covenant. You keep the commandment of life and love by the blood, the word, and the spirit. It involves also praying in tongues and a lot of other things, you know, because that is how he takes possession of the will, the mind, the emotions, and the physical body. That's how you give him access. When you don't do those things, you deny him access, and it's a breach of covenant. Where you know, negligence, laziness, carelessness, whatever, you know, omission. You're breaking covenant because he doesn't have access to the will, the mind, the emotions, the body that he paid for. And that's what basically is our responsibility. Now, the privileges. Healing for the physical body. Deliverance from any type of satanic oppression or possession, God forbid. Prosperity. Material and financial prosperity and well-being. Spiritual growth. These are the benefits. Ultimately into the perfection of fullness of Christ. Inheriting the Spirit without measure to do the works Jesus did and greater. So that you can be a blessing. You see, Jesus has a lot of people. I have sheep that are not of this fold. And he needs people who will give him access to their bodies, their minds, their souls, so that he can use those people as an avenue to get those other sheep. When you deny him access, those sheep will die. They may still go to heaven, but they will never come to know what they should know. And that is why the covenant, keeping the covenant, is so sacred and is so important. Not only is your own life is involved, but the lives of other people. Let me bring it home as I close. In Nigeria today, and in the past many years, very sadly, and not only in Nigeria, it's all over the world, but Nigeria is a peculiar case. There's corruption in a lot of government circles. It would be bad enough if the corruption was just a question of, well, he took a little bit of money, you know, for himself, and it didn't have an effect on the lives of people. But the horrible thing about corruption is that the resources that should have been used for education, healthcare, human capital development are now squandered. Watch this. It has a terrible spiritual parallel. On the lusts of men buy a big car, buy so many houses in London and Paris and Vienna and New York, have a concubine or a girlfriend in different places. That's what they use the money for. Stupid things. Because they want to consume the resources on the loss of their flesh, they now take the resources that is for the commonwealth of the country, for the education, for the health care, you know, for good roads. How many people are dying on our roads today because they have potholes? Because somebody who was supposed to use the money to pay the contractor to have a good road embezzled it. So, people are dying. Women are dying in hospital in childbirth. People are dying unnecessarily. Children are not educated. So, they now become, you know, things for the terrorists and everything to use. They now start, you know, become bandits and are killing. All the insecurity we're seeing in the nation today is a direct consequence of what I'm talking about. Because somebody or some people took the commonwealth of the nation and squandered it on their own lusts. So it now led and is still leading to the death of millions and millions of Nigerians. They broke covenant. I've preached this on another day, but it's not for today. Judgment is coming. It is as sure as the sun will rise. Mark my word. And it will not be one, it will not be two. It's going to be, it's in Job chapter 34. It's going to be, say, many. Because they did not hear the cry of the poor. Let's bring it back to the spiritual as I close, and then we serve the communion. You take these blessings that God has given us. Healing, deliverance, then you squander it on the flesh. Just like the politicians. The knowledge of God, you handle the word of God deceitfully to squander it on your flesh instead of using it to allow Jesus to occupy the mind, the will, and the emotions, to crucify the sin nature in the flesh. You don't do that. You allow the flesh to do what it wants so that you can enjoy the lusts of the flesh. But at the expense of that, what that is causing is that other people are dying. Just like in the nation, people are dying in the hospitals, they're dying on the roads, they're dying, their education is something. In the knowledge of God you should have brought to other people. You didn't bring it because you squandered what God gave you on the loss of the flesh. Instead of crucifying the flesh to allow Jesus to take occupation and to be a blessing. That is the consequence of breaking covenant. It's a serious matter. So, like Jesus did, I'm going to do. I'm going to pray over this part. I want you to examine yourself. Renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Don't walk in craftiness. Don't handle the word of God deceitfully. Let the wisdom that is up from above, pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good will, make sure you're actually keeping covenant. Keep the commandment of life and all by the blood, the word, and the spirit. Morning, afternoon, night, 4 times a day, minimum, pray frequently in the spirit. Maintain an attitude of honesty and humility of heart so that you can give the man access to the soul and the body he paid a price for. So you can be a channel of blessing to the sheep that are not yet of this fold. Let us pray.